This is the Muscles and Management Podcast, where we build your body and your business. Talking all things training, sports performance, and business for athletes and aspiring coaches to enhance your training and better your career. Muscles and Management is brought to you by Challenger Strength with your host, Jerry DiFilippo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 212 of the Muscles and Management Podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe if you have not already. Mike, welcome. Mike is back with us as always. Thank you for joining us as usual, Mike. How's everything going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
Good. Is your little guy still out there wreaking havoc on the flag football fields?
Yeah, I had a game rained out yesterday, actually. He was pretty upset, but he had a game the weekend before, and he stuffed the stat sheet for sure.
I love it. He hawks down those flags like no one pisses. I should post one of them as a tweet and be like, hey, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about Mike's son being the next like Walter Payton on the football field.
I should
pull that back. He's making really good tackles. We're gonna say he's like the next Ed Reed out there.
There you go. I love it.
Exciting stuff this week. As we've been talking about, we're still plugging along with the Only Strength membership. It is Wednesday that we're recording this, and you're going to be listening to it on Thursday, which means still 2 days away from it even being 2 weeks that we released the early sign-up list. And we are at around 260 people. I think some people have definitely signed up twice. So let's say, 240 to 250 based on that. We extended the 50% off month one to the first 300 coaches, as this has gone a little faster and we've gotten more people than I think both of us expected.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not joking, dude. I think I literally would have been happy if we got 100 when I first released it. I think I told you that. Did I tell you?
You were expecting you were saying like, hopefully we can get this like 100 or so before the launch.
Yeah. I think I got like 20, like by the evening of the first day. And I was like, dude, I think I can get to 100 by the time we launched it. And here we are at like 260 entries on the thing, and like I said, even with some repeats, probably like 240 something. So pretty crazy and really cool, and it honestly gets me really fired up every time I see an email come in for a new sign up. I'm getting pumped about it. But we'll have the link again in the show notes. If you haven't gotten on there yet, do it. Mike and I were just talking about some things that we're going to be doing. We have I believe we'll have close to 140 videos ready for the video database come 11/1 when we open. And I figure like at least for the first 6 months, you got to figure probably like 10 plus videos being added every month, just because there's like so many things to put on there. And then something I really want to also expand to as well is going to be like beyond just exercises as we go through. It'll be like different things like coaching different athletes through stuff that we do with the facility, inside looks and talks on different things. I've mentioned that we are extending the Zooms. It was originally going to just be once a month. I want to do bi-weekly. I want to give you guys even more. And honestly, like sitting down with you guys for 60 to 90 minutes every 2 weeks in a Zoom isn't like, something that's like going to drive me nuts, and I want to do more of it. So I think that's really cool. Stay tuned. Honestly, if you listen to the show, you obviously know like how in-depth I go when I answer questions on here, but I'm going to drop a little snippet of some questions I've been answering lately on the podcast, on Twitter later, and just give you a little insight on like the detail you're going to get. And then Mike's been working tirelessly on this forum that we're going to have on Discord, setting it up, customizing it. There's going to be several subthreads. He's going to help me and him are going to moderate it. You guys are going to be able to talk to each other. One of the ideas we've discussed is a place to drop videos of things you're doing with your athletes, or if you're an athlete that you're doing on your own, so people can give feedback and help you and share thoughts and share progress and all things like that. So that's going to be really cool. So a lot of good stuff. And then one thing I actually just talked to him about that I think I might want to do is, if you're part of this community, you're getting a prioritized experience to the connections that I've been lucky enough to make in the 6+ years that I've been doing this. Thinking about paying some coaches to come on and join me on some Zooms, so that you'll have access to have other coaches to answer some questions too. So you're reaching out to somebody saying, hey man, here's $200 for an hour. You're going to be my guest tonight if you'd like to come on the Only Strength Zoom and discuss certain things. So you guys will have access to that. You'll be prioritized for that. And it's going to be really cool. And I'm probably crazy, but this is only $9.99 a month. So, get in on it while you can. Mike, you have anything you want to share on that front?
No, I think you covered most of it. I mean, we're working hard to make sure that, you know, the beginning of this is a great value to start with. And the people who are first in line are, you know, they're getting not only the value for that half off or as appreciation for starting with us, but, you know, it's going to exceed that and be exceeding the $9.99, in my opinion, from the get go. So we're going to be adding as we go. And I think it's going to be awesome.
For sure. Yeah, no, like, guys, Mike is killing it here, helping me with this. It's going to be seamless. We have like 4 more weeks to get everything finalized, but I've been recording videos for the database. I probably have about 40 done already. You know, like I said, 140 is the goal for 11-1. Probably could have done more than that, but I think that's a good starting point. It also gives us some growth, and it lets you guys kind of get use out of those for the first month, and then there'll be more to put on there as we go. And I'm really excited about that. I really do, Mike. I'm sure you agree with this. I think that alone is worth $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that was my original take on it. Was like, I think this video,
there's like 3 or 4 things by themselves in this, I think, are worth $9.99, if I'm being honest.
2 60-to-90-minute Zooms with me a month, I think, is also worth probably $9.99.
Yeah.
So guys, I'm super pumped about this. And I gotta be honest with you too. Who knows where this is going to go? If we're a year in and this is blowing up and we're adding more features, maybe it is $20, $25 a month. But if you're on that early list, maybe you're grandfathered in at that $9.99 rate. If that's something that we can do. So I think that, you know, there's incentive to get in on this early, you know, showing us that you have the trust in us and, you know, the support and everything like that. Like, you know, could be an incentive 6 to 12 months from now when this is the biggest membership community on the internet, where you're like, hey man, you know, I get $10, $15 less a month than you do because I was one of the OGs.
An OG, yeah.
You know, maybe you get a free Only Strength t-shirt. I think Only Strength t-shirts might be in the works because I think the logo is really cool. And, you know, me with my sense of humor, I thought Only Strength was like a really fun way to go about it. So, yeah, excited for that. Link will be in the show notes again, so be on the lookout for that. One last announcement. Apologies for my voice. Just getting over, I guess, a combination of a cold, sinus infection, whatever you want to call it. I feel fine, but the voice is still just kind of lagging a little bit. So bear with me on sounding like I'm a chain smoker. With that said, I think let's lead off with maybe some, whether it's tweets or different videos or whatever you have for me for the week, Mike. Let's talk about some stuff.
Okay. I'm trying my best. Like, I can't just go through this and pick which tweets did the best, because I want to try to keep it fresh. And this, just as last time, these tweets with, you know, your videos and some accessories or like some like workout or some warm up routines are just exploding. We are going to talk about
we're having a good month, Mike.
Yeah, for sure.
Just so you know, I think I texted you this yesterday. Twitter gives you analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 28 days, as of yesterday, we added like 3,400 followers on Twitter, which is, yeah, I think, absolutely crazy. I think, as from what I know, that's like, I added 10% of my total followers in 28 days. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
We're on a hot streak. So go ahead. What do you got for me?
All right, let's do one. Favorite speed day accessories: ball, dead bug, dynamic step up, prone partner hammy curl with med ball, ball hammy iso, supine knee lift iso, standard ball hammy curl, GHR iso hold, ball hammy flutter, banded dead bug, ab rollout, standing knee lift, and just videos of all of those, of course.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, I like to promote stuff, right? So my thought process was like, some of these montages would be cool. They're going to help a lot of people. You know, in my mind, I don't feel bad for growing my following if I'm helping people. So if I give you 11 good exercises to do at the end of your speed day and that tweet gets 2,000 likes and I could drop my sign up link underneath it and get exposure to more people, it's a great thing. Win-win for both of us, right? So what I've been having fun doing lately is, you know, thinking of different topics. Like, I think today I might do like my favorite unilateral exercises. Last night I did like 6 starts for acceleration. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll give you my stats right now. I have, let's see here. So, and I've deleted some. I have 41,342 videos on my phone. And they're not all there. They're in the cloud. Like, if you go back past like 2 days, a lot of my videos aren't active on my phone. If I go to click on them, they have to download from the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the only feasible way I could have that many on my phone, right? So the point I'm getting at here is I have every video, like a lot, like everything that I do on a day-to-day basis with our athletes, I'm recording it, right?
Yeah.
So easy enough for me is to go on my Twitter page and click on the search bar, okay, and search keywords like speed day or hamstring or hip flexor and find exercises that I've used over the course of the last 5 years, gather them and put them in one place as a list. So that's what I've been doing. And I think the speed day one was really cool because, you know, it's a, hamstrings and hip flexors and things like that are really important. And they're basic in a sense, but I also think like a lot of what we talk about is movement based, like sprints types and jumps and whatever, you know, getting a little bit into like some of the musculature type stuff and ways you can support the sprint workouts that you're doing, I think is also important. And a lot of people, I think, get overwhelmed when picking accessories. They don't know where to begin. So I think just giving lists like that and saying, hey, here's 11 exercises, you know, use two next week, two different ones the week after, and you can kind of rotate through and pick what you want, I think is really cool and helpful to people. So that's what I've been doing. So I've been having fun doing that. You know, I'm glad that they're getting a lot of positive feedback. But the sprint accessory one, I really wanted to just put out there because I really do feel like people sometimes don't know where to begin with programming. What do I pick? What do I do? There's so much to choose from, you know, all that, all the above. So, you know, I really want to make sure that like, if I can give you 11 or 12 things to pick from, it shows you like, hey, do these, this is a good place to start, but it also gives a little taste. Like this is a lot of what the video database is going to be about, in the membership. So yeah, go check those tweets out the last few weeks. It was, you know, the hamstring accessories, the, upper body power, all that kind of stuff. There's some good lists that you guys, would definitely like for sure. Mike, you got anything for me in terms of just written tweets that I could kind of explain?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I needed to make sure we're not sticking to just the big ones. I got one here. Something I noticed, average athletes only like the gym when it involves curls, reckless heavy lifts, etc. The elite athletes enjoy the mobility work, embrace proper rest and mundane, boring stuff. Major difference between the two is what they value.
Yeah. This is just something I've really noticed with different athletes. Like the ones that only, like we have different teams and different levels and different athletes we work with. And just something that I've really started to see is just the, like the desire, like what do they like to do? Right. And I often notice that when you're dealing with the higher level athlete, this isn't always the case. There's the higher level athletes that are just really gifted and don't give a shit about anything when it comes to the gym, but you're dealing with some of the higher athletes and, you know, they don't need to be doing fancy exercises all the time or just getting a big pump in or just getting swole or lifting like a bodybuilder to enjoy the gym. Like they understand that things that we're doing or things that you're doing in the gym that make you feel better are just as important as the stuff that's fun, right? And honestly, they sometimes have fun with the hip mobility or the recovery days or, you know, resting longer in between. So like I do have a team where we struggle to get them motivated to train if we're not doing like some heavy ass lifting, or even if we're doing a strength day, you know, they don't want to follow the 5 second tempo on the lift. They just want to go as heavy as they can and max out, right?
Yeah.
Whereas my higher level athletes, I've noticed, whether it's a younger age or an older age, but the ones that are on that trajectory to go there or are already there at that higher level, they embrace the tempo because they know it's part of the system and the program that's put together to get them to the goal that they're trying to get to. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep, for sure.
So they delay that instant gratification of like,
yeah,
I just want to hit a heavy 3-rep set and feel good about the number, or I just want to do a curl or whatever, or, oh, boring, I want to lift today, even though I just played 4 games in a row. My older athletes are like, I need a recovery day today and I need this because it's going to make me feel better.
And I'm sure at your gym and like good gyms, I'm sure this mindset is like clear. But the reason I really like this tweet is it made me think back to like when I was in college baseball, and there was one kid in particular that took all the mobility stuff super serious, hip stuff. Like we had a little bit of a program, but we also kind of were on our own on some stuff. And, you know, I just remember conversations of like people thinking he was like almost like negatively talking towards him. Like he wasn't oh, you know, so-and-so is lifting heavy today, but Joe is just doing this. And he was like doing mobility, and he ended up being like the most progressed athlete on the team. And he actually like does strength and conditioning stuff for a minor league team right now. Like, it's just funny. Like, it almost seemed like the culture that we had, it seemed like he was like being lazy in a way.
Yeah. And it's just, it's interesting. And I've tweeted about this before, but like, it's easy for a lot of people to just go in every day and do something, right? Like in the sense of like no days off, or it's, you just want to like do some curls or lift heavy because you like to lift and it's fun or whatever. Like for a lot of athletes, like just doing activity is easy. It's like the discipline to do the little things, like, you know, being on the floor doing hip work or not going to the gym, you know, avoiding the temptation to go train if that's like something you really enjoy doing in order to just, you know, fulfill the bigger picture is the harder part sometimes. Like to me, a day off isn't a day off when it's planned. Like if you have in your schedule that a certain day you don't train, the discipline to not go train and to do
part of the program
following part of the program.
That makes sense.
So like people need to realize that like work ethic is more common than you think. I think the extra step beyond the work ethic is the discipline to not do things when you're not supposed to do them. So that's, for sure. that's always been my take on it.
Let's see. I know we've talked a little bit about this, but you gave some so just kind of touching on our last pod with young kids, when we say young, we're talking, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old doing, you know, speed and agility classes and stuff like that. And you were kind of poking fun, but yesterday you tweeted some actual things that would be helpful for a young kid. So I just wanted to touch it. Your child's 11. They've never done strength or speed training. They don't need sport specific training. They need to get stronger, sprint at max speeds, land and decelerate, move with intent in all movements in multiple planes, do all the above consistently.
Yeah, it's just funny to me how this still is something that people ask for. I think it's just they don't fundamentally understand what's actually needed for their child. You know, they're playing their sport, they're playing. That's all they're doing. And you ask to come strength train, obviously, because it's something they're not getting. So why would your first thought be to give them more of something they already get? Why would you wouldn't have reached out in the first place and you would have just done more hitting lessons or more throwing or more practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also just don't understand how weak the kid probably is, how since they're so undertrained, just even getting a little stronger in basics for a few years.
Yeah.
Is going to transfer over tremendously to what they're building when they're practicing the skill of their sport versus just trying to model the skill part of their sport with some resistance and thinking that's going to be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot simpler than people often think it has to be. And I think they try to often rush that process. And it's like the you know, the old DeFranco always said, you know, killing a mosquito with a machine gun. It's just not necessary. And again, I think it's a misinterpretation of like trying to match things up just based on what they look like on the surface versus like targeting the physical qualities that build together to support the movement that's up higher on the chain.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's like the biggest issue in terms of understanding is that.
Makes sense. You want to do one more?
I harp on this too. And let me give a little advice to coaches.
Yeah.
If someone reaches out to you for their 12-year-old or 13-year-old and they've never trained and they ask, do you do sports specific training? Just tell them yes and just do whatever you're going to do anyway.
You've talked about this before.
Don't lose business. Just say, yeah, no problem. Don't be so prideful and so rigid that you're like, we don't do that. It's bullshit. Because I guarantee
you don't need to change their mind. Yeah.
You're just going to go to someone else.
Right. Someone will eventually say yes to them.
Yeah. Just take them in. You know, start training them the way you would and gradually explain to them how the things you're doing are going to be really good and just getting them stronger. And I'm telling you, after 2 or 3 weeks, when the kid starts getting crazy gains right away because they're literally they've never trained before and the ball starts coming off the bat harder and they're throwing it faster or they jump higher in basketball or they sprint faster in football, whatever your sport is, they're going to be like, oh, I guess he's right. This does work. Yeah. When, you know, we have an athlete come in and they deadlift 100 more pounds in eighth or ninth grade than they did when they started, and their vert goes up, and the father's talking about how they're doing jump balls with kids 3 inches taller than them and getting the ball, or they're hitting the ball 10 feet further than they used to. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. What do you got next?
I got one more. I picked this one because there was actually a little bit of back talk to you. So, okay. Athletes, I promise.
I know what you're going to get on this one.
I promise that heavy lifting 1 to 5 reps will not make you sore before a game. Day before, day of, etc. The rep range is neuromuscular, not one that is prone to create muscular soreness.
Yeah, this is one of those times where people expect you to be able to just write a dissertation on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, it's for most athletes, if you do 1 or 2 sets of 5 reps or less, I promise you, you are not going to feel sore before you play. I promise you that. And like, oh, like, what do you mean? Isn't all movement neuromuscular? No. What I'm saying is, of course, anything we do is neuromuscular. Your brain has to fucking get signals to the rest of your body to be able to exert force and to coordinate and move things. No shit. What I'm saying is a 5 rep or less set with no focus on eccentric or isometric tempo or tension is going to be far less likely or far less geared towards delayed onset muscle soreness than a traditional hypertrophy focused set with greater, meaning 30 to 45 seconds or up to a minute of time under tension. That is more likely being under more eccentric duress to put you in a position to be more sore than a 1 to 5 rep set, where a 1 to 5 rep set is more focused on motor unit recruitment to exert a lot of force, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we say those things are more likely to improve your speed and your power than a 12 to 15 rep set. And since the 1 to 5 rep set is more focused on those things versus excess mechanical stress on the body, you're not going to be likely to experience as much, if not any, soreness as you would doing a 12 to 15 rep set, where generally athletes think the heavy lifting is what's going to make them sore and the lighter, higher rep set is not going to. And that is the wrong mindset and the opposite mindset, really, of what it comes down to. Like, I could do overcoming isos for 6 to 10 seconds and, 1 to 5 rep lifts and not feel sore. Now, I need to then worry about when I do those things more so with what the strain is going to be on my output in terms of like my nervous system. Like, my speed might not be there the next day if I do 6 sets of overcoming isos because I fried my nervous system, but I'm not going to necessarily be sore in my body. So worry about, it's more so urging you to worry about the right things, understand what the 1 to 5 rep lifts focus more on versus the higher reps. And a lot of feedback I got was, this is generic, this is whatever, it's not guaranteed. I'm like, I don't think anybody said that. I think that people love to nitpick, whether they want to admit it or not, and they never will. Jumping on a tweet with 700 likes of a person with 38,000 followers is a really good place to get yourself noticed. And what better way to get noticed than to be one of the 5 people that disagreed with the tweet versus the 750 that liked it? So I know a lot of the time these types of people do that for that reason. Now, I also know some of the people that comment on these things, you go on their page and there's no examples of anyone work they're doing with anybody. There's no skin in the game. They're not putting themselves out there in the public domain to allow criticism. Now, I'm the first one to tell you, I'm not a hypocrite. I criticized Eastern Illinois baseball for their running and they were like, we didn't ask for your opinion. Comment and disagree with me all you want. I don't care. I welcome it. I'll argue with you all day. I put it out there. It's got a right to be criticized. But my point is, I am much less likely to greet you with more pleasantries, or with more likelihood to have a conversation with you when I go on your page and see that you never put yourself out there to welcome criticism on your own ideas. When your right. page is only retweets and likes and things and never your own commentary, never your own thoughts, never your own videos of your own athletes training, I start to doubt how much you're doing, how much yourself you're putting out there. I doubt all of those things, okay? So that's my beef. And my other beef is when you're a person that continuously, the 5 or 6 times I've interacted with you, and I'm speaking to this Lisa lady who always comments on my post that I've now muted. She was the same one when I put out there that individualization for 30 teams of 30 athletes isn't really possible from an exercise standpoint or even always necessary. It's more based on loading. And she tried to go on there saying her, who I've never fucking heard of before, who has is a nobody, because I go on her page and there's no videos of anyone she does anything with, wants to try to make it nitpick with me saying, oh, you could be doing this for 60 athletes. I've done it. I've done this. She wants to then pull back when she comments on things like, is it all movement, neuromuscular? No shit. As I said in the beginning, that wasn't the point. The point was, what is more driven by that and what is less driven by that? And she goes, oh, I wasn't nitpicking. I was just trying to get drive discussion. That's like the favorite response when someone gets called out for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just trying to have a discussion. It's evident in your tone, and you've done it multiple times. I know what you're up to. I know what you're trying to do. Honestly, I don't like blocking people, but I don't even want to give her the ability to comment on my stuff and try to get exposure. I blocked someone the other day. This guy followed me, and he went on my tweet. It was a tweet with a lot of likes about like getting better at acceleration from last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he commented on it, like basically saying like, oh, try my product. It's the best for resisted sprinting. You're not doing that. You're not using my page to promote your name. You're not using my page to promote your product. I'm sorry. Go build it up on your own. When it's evident, that's what you're trying to do. And to me, she always comments something disagreeing. Like, and when I say nitpicking, it's because of, I say nitpicking because like, it's not, oh, you're flat out wrong. It's, oh, isn't this one little thing this or that? I had one tweet to explain. I didn't make a thread on it. Okay. So that's my beef. And lo and behold, and I'll check and I'll give you an update to the minute right now. When I go on there, okay, and I see no response back to my tweet that basically said 1 to 5. Here, I'll read you what I said here. So I basically said to this one guy, this guy, Lewis Cunningham, thought he was smart. He just put a red X and I put great contribution, groundbreaking stuff. He goes, we get it. You're a businessman, a lot of followers, constantly find content. Let's not tweet generic rubbish. He's from the UK. He had to put rubbish in there with no context on intensity, exercise selection, or volume. If it's a new stimulus because of this, can make someone sore with 5 reps. Yeah, no problem, dude. I'll just put a tweet out there with a full program with every rep spelled out. I'll just put a virtual tour of the gym. We'll just do everything out there. Like, just really realistic, right? This other guy, Advanced Performance, apparently a friend of Lewis, who is a youth-based SNC performance lab, who, again, has no content of his own that he puts out there. He went and said, I have a question. How do you know that it only fatigues the neuromuscular system? And also by how much? What about 6 reps? Just an asshole comment. That's just, I know what you're doing, right? So I said, yeah. I checked your page and to no surprise, minimal content posted, shocking, nitpicking tweets when you have not put yourself out there for criticism. He says, maybe I'm busy coaching athletes, ? I noticed you didn't answer the question. You made the statement to the burden of proof is with you. I'm looking to learn. Haven't seen this in the literature. So wondering where it's from. So I said, you haven't seen literature that 1 to 5 rep sets have less time under tension than standard hypertrophy based sets and are less likely to yield delayed onset muscle soreness. Really?
Crickets.
That's pretty common sense. No. Do we need a litany of posted research papers to confirm basic logic? And guess that was 21 hours ago. Guess who didn't answer that? I wonder why.
Busy training athletes.
So probably busy training. So Advanced Performance UK, stick it up your ass. Okay.
A resurgence of old Jerry right here.
Yes. Seriously, stick it up your ass. I know. And Lewis, who couldn't really contribute anything other than just disagreeing. And again, maybe it's because you work with a professional sports team, Norwich City Football Club. You know, it's a pretty big deal, but maybe that's why you can't post any content. I don't give a shit. I've never heard of you up until today. Don't really care. See you later. Over. Okay. There's my response. I want three questions in the next 7 minutes. Let's go, Mike.
All right, let's do it. Let's go. So you'll have to tell me what the tweet was. Max said would reply instead of DM, but my coach follows me.
You do? I tweeted basically saying getting a skinny athlete, excess conditioning is like the worst thing you could do for them.
Okay. So he said, what would you do if you were fit in this category and at school you have to run long distance, do random CrossFit circuits almost every day? All I do is take it as easy as possible and be explosive as possible in my personal training.
Yeah, I guess he's asking what advice to give to someone like that that's stuck in that situation.
Yeah. Like his coach is making him do that and he knows it's kind of whack, but he needs his coach.
It depends on the relationship you have with your coach, right? If it's a productive relationship and you could kind of try to present literature to him, I think the best way to get to coaches sometimes is to say like, look at what, you know, these places people are doing. You know, go on my page and you can literally just search up Yankees sprinting on the search bar. And there's a whole thread about how the Yankees have adopted a sprint first mentality to not just beat the shit out of their athletes, but to just do more explosive based and power based stuff. Generally speaking, when someone tells you what the Yankees are doing, they're going to be bound to listen. So like, I do always like the philosophy of like, show your coach what pro level people are doing or high level people are doing. And also maybe show people like me or other coaches that are tweeting about these things, you know, look up, there's, you know, several tweets. If you go on my page about lactic acid, how it's not an actual thing that makes you sore and it doesn't really exist in the art of baseball. When you throw a baseball or a pitch, the activity that you're doing is, you know, causing micro tears in your tissues. And that's what's leading to the stress and the soreness. So you don't improve that by running more after you throw. And I would also just say to try to just explain as best you can, or just from logic, coach, I have a question. When I throw a pitch or swing a bat, it's a split second activity that's got a lot of rest in between. Why do we need to be doing all this longer distance and slow, steady state stuff? Why not work more on power? And just try to respectfully just ask questions and see what as much you can get out of that type of stuff. So that'd be my advice. Next cool. one.
All right. This one is, I think it's he's replying to like the Pogo video.
Yes.
And he's saying,
it was our speed day routine with my highest level junior hockey team.
Yeah.
And we were doing like a bunch of different intensive and extensive. And I think there's actually an assistant coach at FDU, TNEC, Division I FDU in New Jersey. So I definitely want to message him. Pretty cool to hear from him. But I put a whole video out on this like 2 days ago. If you go on my page and search intensive plyometrics, it was on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. It's all the above. What I would say on that is just the biggest difference between extensive versus intensive is a few things. One, it's the speed of the movement. Intensive is going to be faster, higher output focused. Extensive is more rhythmic. Intensive is going to be quicker ground contacts, where extensive might be a little longer on the ground contacts. Intensive will be sharper ground contacts. Like I said, more volatile. Just always remind yourself intensive. And then look at it from the perspective of, from repetitions, extensive is going to be higher rep, more so like hypertrophy almost to build a base. Intensive is going to be lower rep because they are more intense in nature and you only have so much output ability where you want to only do 2 to 4 reps maybe, so that each of those reps can be done at your fullest speed to make sure you're improving your output. So that's the biggest difference between those two.
Awesome. All right. Last one. Looks like he's asking, hey, brother, what's your go-to for VBT these days?
Yeah, we still use Train with Push, who was bought out by Whoop. Whoop. Yeah.
Yep.
Whoop bought out Train with Push. We have like a few of their gadgets. They go on the bar or on the arm of the athlete. The arm of the athlete can track more body weight driven movements or movement based stuff. The bar obviously tracks barbell speed and all things like that. We just use those to kind of just make sure our loads are accurate for what we're doing when we're doing, you know, training with more of our advanced athletes. I will tell you, probably don't need to be worried about VBT with an athlete that hasn't trained for at least 2 to 3 years consistently and has gotten pretty strong. You know, I have an athlete who just started using VBT this year and they jumped 37 inches, but we trained for 2 years basically without having to use it. So just, you know, you didn't ask that in your question, but that's just a little bit of an extra thing there. But we do use Push. They've been fine for us. I know Jim Aware is another one. Honestly, man, search up Mark Hoover on Twitter. He's literally I feel like he's got a new gadget every week in his gym. And he has probably testimonials and experience on all of them and how he uses them and the, and what's accurate and what's not and the cost and all that kind of stuff. But Push has been fine for us. You know, Whoop took them over and their database and their stuff still continues to run. And it's been fine. I pay like $30 a month for it. And you could add, I think I could add up to like 50 to 60 athletes to the portal, and it's been good. So, yeah, check out that. It's easy. Or like I said, Gym Aware, search up BBT equipment on Google. You'll find a litany of different things. If Push doesn't seem like to be the one for you. So, that's all I got. Yeah. I think we're good, Mike.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Good. I'm glad I got, you know, another shove it up your ass or kiss my ass out there today. Feeling like my old self, keeping it professional. I'm just kidding. But yeah, that got me a little hot. I think deservedly so, but, Mike, thank you for joining us as always. Guys, like I said, in the show notes, the link for the sign up for Only Strength, look out for more announcements, be in that first 300 coaches. And, you know, we're going to do some exciting things and we're going to make this thing, you know, awesome. And it's going to be the best community, in my opinion, on the internet to learn from not only me, but interact with other coaches and, you know, have exposure to all those different things. So thank you guys as always. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Muscles in Management brought to you by Challenger Strength. I'm your host, Jerry DiFilippo, signing off from the show that's changing how we view sports performance, training, and business.